This week on ISBNB Update, we delve into the quality of life improvements made to Elite Dungeons, dungeoneering, and more. We also start the hype for RuneFest early with some discussion on the schedule, and we cover the smithing upgrades that are coming in hot.
This is RSBNB Update, episode 726, recorded on Thursday, May 30th, 2019. Deep Vindication. Hello, and welcome to another episode of RSBNB Update. I'm Tanis, and I'm here with our good friend from Clan Quest and fellow and former writer, Sirion. How you doing, buddy? Welcome.
Not too bad. Glad to be back.
So we have kind of a quality of life patch week this week, and a lot of anticipated fixes to the Elite Dungeons, and there's been a few touch-ups with Dungeoneering as well. I don't see any reason not to just jump right into it. How about you, Sirion?
No, I completely agree. It was, like, as the news post said, we got so much sort of fireworks last week with all the announcements that, this week it's back to the patch notes and improvements. But I think there are some real big kickers and hidden diamonds in the patch notes as well. So, despite it being just a quality of life week, I think it's actually pretty meaty as far as content goes.
Yeah, the people that do Elite Dungeons, I know, have been waiting for some of these, and there's a few even in the Dungeoneering that I plan to take advantage of. So, yeah, what did they give us? What do they have on offer?
Right. So, the news post starts off with the Elite Dungeon improvements, and they call out a few of them. So the first one is that all the Elite Dungeon reward shops have now been merged into one shop, accessible at all three Elite Dungeon locations. Which I personally think is awesome, because I did look at one of the shops earlier this week, and it is a bit weird. You can buy like one teleport tab to one of the dungeons, and the shops feel pretty empty, especially if you compare it to something like the Ark, which has a lot of rewards.
The Elite... Yeah, this seems to make more sense. Yeah. I'm not sure why they would have been why they were split up, because this makes a lot more sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Players can now also unlock a bank chest upgrade for 750k tokens, which allows banking inside Elite Dungeons and automatically grants the 20% double loot chance on bosses. The chest can still be toggled for non-boss drops.
It's a big one. Mm-hmm. I think people are really going to be happy with that one.
750k tokens is a bit steep for someone like me, but if you do Elite Dungeons like daily, which I think some people do it like a lot, this might make a difference.
What would have been even better is had this been a comp rec, then that would have been beautiful, because most people will cash in their tokens to get that extra little bit to be finished, and then they would have had to go on and get another 750. Mm. So that would have been funny.
I mean, I'm not sure.
But they didn't do that.
Like, one of the... I'm not sure if it's a comp requirement. It might be a trimmed requirement. Or maybe it's just an achievement. So one of the achievements is actually to fully upgrade your Ring of Kinship. And that is expensive. That's like a few million tokens right there. So, you know, making this a comp requirement would probably have not gone in well with most people of the community.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, if there was only a way we could fix that going forward, maybe.
Cool. The next thing they added is that you can now teleport between Elite Dungeons using the chests outside each dungeon if you have completed the Impressing the Locals quest, which, I mean, I think this is awesome, because the Dragonkin Laboratory is just a pain to get to otherwise. And even
probably going to make that quest a lot easier now too, right? The Curse of Blackstone?
Yeah, definitely. Oh yeah, like because like most of the locations are a bit like the last elite dungeon, Cursed Reef, is pretty easy to get to. Just ring of kinship and run down to like the pier. But if you want to get to the Temple of Amanishi, you have to first of all get to the island and then run all the way to the top of the island, which is quite a bit. And if you want to get to the Dragonkin Laboratory, you have to actually run through the wilderness, as far as I'm aware. So, neither are very easily reachable. So I think this is a great addition. Just as a convenience, really, because let's be honest, like getting to a certain place in RuneScape is not really what the game is about anymore, because it's so easy to get around otherwise that when there is something that is just a pain to get to, it sticks out like a sore thumb.
Totally.
Cool. Invention combat dummies can now be placed within a short distance and inside of any dungeon chests inside Elite Dungeon. I think this is really one for like the high-end PVM or for like adrenaline style stalling purposes. Don't ask me how that works and like what the best way of doing it is, but I mean I guess it's a
Yeah,
nice
I'm.
feature.
Yeah, I'm sure the really sweaty PVMers are happy about this. I don't know. I don't know what the significance is of it being by a bank chest, but maybe someone that's more adept at combat can tell us sometime. Because I don't know.
I think my guess is to make it really limited to like if you have someone in your party that needs to bank, that you don't lose your adrenaline, but they don't want you to build adrenaline at any place in the dungeon. It's really
Oh, okay.
to prevent it from being overused, I would say.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Celestial and gemstone dragons inside Dragonkin Laboratory have had their defense slightly reduced. I'm not going to complain about that one. Dungeoneering daily challenge criteria now allows the player to complete shifting tombs and elite dungeons instead of completing a Demonheim floor if they wish. Which I guess is, if you're an elite dungeon player, that's a free 100k dungeoneering XP a day for you. I mean.
Yeah, no, this is really big for people that don't like to dunge, but they're cool with combat. I've had a lot of friends tell me this week like they're gonna get their 120 dunge because of this. So yeah.
To me, I'm not that interested in doing either of these instead of dunge. And like if you now look at the description of the daily challenge, it's like a block of text telling you what you can do. So, what could have been interesting if they had added separate daily challenges for each of these.
Yeah, maybe they were just worried about having that so heavy in the dungeoneering realm, because dungeoneering is probably the best, in my opinion, daily to do. Like by a long shot. Like it's not even close.
Yeah,
So
that's
I
true.
don't know.
I mean, the reason I'm saying that maybe they should have done it split it is because like if they kept the dungeoneering daily challenges as good, people would start doing shifting tombs for like actually doing it maybe, which is a good way to sort of revitalize that content. For the elite dungeons, I think there's a higher sort of step towards doing an elite dungeon rather than a normal dungeon. That there's still people who will do it though. So, yeah, it's sort of debuffing the overpoweredness of these challenges a bit throughout. So, I don't know. I feel it would have solved some problems that the dungeoneering daily sort of have, if you want to call them problems, but it would not have gone over well with Reddit.
Yeah, see, and I'm kind of on the fence with it, just because I think that it's definitely good for the people that do elite dungeons and don't really care for dungeoneering, traditionally. At this, and I'm fine with that. Like, I don't personally have a problem with that, but I do wonder if we're starting to dip our toe into the water of you can basically do all of your dunge now without ever doing a dunge. And that seems counterproductive, or it just seems counter to what the skilling, like mechanics of the skill are. But I don't know. I mean, that's just a layman talking here.
You say that, and I think you're right to some degree, but on the other hand, I think Elite Dungeons did come into the game to become an alternative training method to the traditional dungeoneering, right?
So yeah, they did.
If you think of them that way, this daily challenge does serve its purpose. Yeah. Cool.
Cool.
Messages for getting loot in an elite dungeon now more obviously denote whether an item has been stockpiled in your elite dungeon chests or not, which is nice. I think it avoids a bit of confusion. I haven't actually seen the messages and what they look like before and after, but can't hurt.
Couldn't tell you.
You can now use the Seasinger and Tetsu sword weapon upgrade kits on their respective augmented versions in order to upgrade them. All experience and perks will be kept. I think this is big. My ports gear was among the first things to be augmented. So this is I think this is pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's cool. I didn't know there was upgrades you could do to our ports gear. So this is new to me.
I think you buy them with Elite Dungeon.
That's why I wouldn't know.
Yeah, and then I think they up. Yeah, I'm not sure what tier they become. Let me see if I can quickly upgrade.
See, the normal is 85. They wouldn't go with 90. Maybe they put it on 87.
No, 88. Yeah.
Oh, 88. Okay, yeah. So it's even better than okay.
Good.
Nice. They are tradable on the. They're actually drops from Elite Dungeon. They're not rewards, they're actually drops.
That makes it a little bit better.
And they trade for, so the Tetsu Sword upgrade kit trade for about 375k. And the Seasinger upgrade kit, if I can find it. Seizing a weapon upgrade kit, 280k. So.
Oh, nice! So yeah, I didn't realize you could buy that stuff too. So that's cool.
I actually get these because I use these weapons quite a lot, and you know, a one-time investment of like 500k or like 600k just to add like 3 levels. That's.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it too because if I dual wield magic, I am way too cheap to buy the proper equipment, so I still use my Seasinger. I forget what it is, but it's the magic, you know, the dual wield.
Yeah, the Seasinger Kiba and the Seasinger Maki guy. Yeah, that's really cool. I might grab myself some of these. Cool. What's next? Spiky rune salvage drops in elite dungeons are now noted.
Okay.
And finally, elite dungeon lucky charms are now able to be converted to work in other elite dungeons at the click of a button. Which is nice, because I think I have some from loyalty that only apply to the Dragonkin Laboratory or something like that. So.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Cool, and that's it for like the elite dungeon improvements. I think there's a few more in the patch notes, but nothing. These are definitely the most significant ones. I think it's pretty good, and it thematically goes pretty well with the improvements to dungeoneering in general. So let's dig right into those. I'd say unless you have something on the elite dungeon.
No, I'm glad. I'm glad that. You know, the Elite Dungeon players are getting the stuff that they've been asking for. And yeah, it does remind you of like when, remember when we got the the fire making patch week, and this kind of seems like a dungeoneering patch week, you know, in a way.
And so, you know, if you had one of these each month, I would not complain. Like, there's
No,
so
that'd be
much
cool,
good
wouldn't it?
stuff. Yeah. Like,
Yeah, that'd be good.
maybe they should also choose a skill of the month and just dig into it and improve it with a
Well,
bit.
there's an idea.
There's an idea,
Something where they
yeah.
could. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Cool. So yeah, let's dig right into the dungeoneering improvements. So as a solo dungeoneer, you can now take on large dungeons on your own if you are so inclined.
That's probably cool. I don't know if I'll do it, but I mean, I have always been irritated that you can't, so I'm glad that you can, but well, you're going to be there for a while.
Yeah, I might actually. How does it work for like experience? Like, I wonder.
It's so much more experience on a large.
Yeah, but
I
like, will
mean,
you get more experience for doing a large one on your own? I would assume so. I want to see that
yeah,
speed drop, to be honest. I might be
yeah,
tempted to
I
do
would
a
think
large
so.
dungeon just to see the size of the XP drop on that one.
Yeah, I think the difference is really going to be like how fast you can do it. If you are fast, this is huge. And this is probably really good for Ironmans. It's just for me, in a group of five, I think our large is probably 20 minutes. 15, 20 minutes, something like that. If I was by myself, hour plus,
Yeah.
easily. So I don't know if it would work out for me quite so well, but I might try it.
I wonder how the math works out. Like, if you're planning on doing a whole chunk of dungeoneering, you set aside like 2 hours of dungeon, like soloing. It might actually be easy to do larges because, when you start with a medium, you have no information on the dungeon layout. You have to like find everything from the start. In the large one, you might be able to plan that a bit better. Like, I'm sort of wondering if the math works out there and if you can actually get better experience rates on large dungeons. But I'm pretty sure that maybe already on the wiki you can find the XP rates for this
Probably.
figured out by
Yeah.
people. But yeah, I think it's pretty cool. I don't think it will be used a lot because I mean.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, this is what you have to, you know.
So another thing they added to Dungeoneering is two new interface slots in the Dungeoneering in-game status interface. These slots will now display a Lock Melter and a Dungeoneering outfit slot. When the Lock Melter is used, this slot will display a tick to show that it's been used by your party for this floor, and the same goes for the Dungeoneering outfit. This feels very
Okay.
niche. I'm not sure if this warranted like a full thing on the main interface, but I
I mean, I guess
guess.
this is it's good for groups that aren't using some kind of a voice chat, maybe.
Nah.
I mean, maybe that's confusing.
There's two
I don't know.
more patches here that sort of you think these would solve the problem, and that's that a party message will now be shown when someone in your party uses a lock melter or uses an outfit skip. So like it will now send
Oh,
you a
well.
message. So
So if you're getting a message, huh? Well, I don't know. I guess I don't really know what to say about that. They've given us everything and the kitchen sink on this one.
yeah.
Not sure.
But yeah, it probably doesn't harm anyone, so
Yeah, I was like, I don't see any drawbacks to it. I just don't know what to think.
Cool. A yes, don't ask me again option has been added to the message received when completing a floor. If you choose this each time you click the end letter, it will now try to vote to end immediately instead of prompting you. That's good. Like ending a dungeon is one of the most annoying things of dungeoneering, really. Like, the
Yes.
interface is so unintuitive, so
Yes.
great.
No,
Thank
I
you.
like that change a lot.
There's now a party message to show which player has voted to end the floor.
Oh, that's good. So now we can call out the dumbasses that haven't clicked on it yet. That's great. Like, come on, dude. Let's go.
So talking about speeding up ending dungeons. 29 out of 30 dungeoneering bosses, the exception is the skeletal horde, will now automatically trigger the end ladder on death. Previously, 28 of these bosses forced you to wait for their death animation before allowing you to enter dungeon.
Jeez. Yeah, I'm glad. This is a good fix, too.
Yeah.
I'm very glad. Especially, what was that one that, like, where it drops the rocks and it shakes? God, that thing takes forever, it seems like.
Yeah, there's a bunch of those. Chisel spawns have been removed from dungeoneering as they're not used anymore.
Yeah, probably for the best.
And finally, Gatestone 1, Group Gatestone, and Gatestone 2 will now appear as the item on top of a loot pile to allow players to easily pick them back up.
Yeah, that's a really good one, too.
That's
a really good one, because you're just constantly trading Gatestones back and forth and stuff like that.
Especially dropping it here in like large dungeons, yeah.
Yeah, so that's great.
So yeah, that's it for like the big dungeoneering improvements. I mean, great quality of life improvements, if you ask me. Like,
yeah,
these are the things where like you forget that these happened in a few weeks, but they'll just make your dungeoneering experience slightly more fun.
You know, it's the kind of things that you get so used to that if you were to go back and do it the other way, you might think it was bugged. Or something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's kind of what it feels like there. The question is, will this be enough to bring Shane to Demonheim?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I need to get like my 120 cape and just flash that in his face all the time. Maybe he'll come down.
Just wherever he goes, we'll just surround him in 120 capes.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Cool.
Are you ready for this one? This next one?
Oh boy. Yeah. So if you are one of those people who likes to use Legacy because you don't like the new stuff, well, you're not in luck because you got new stuff anyway.
I read this and I was like, is this a joke? I seriously was like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Because I couldn't figure out why Legacy had an action bar to begin with. I'm like, what? I don't...
Yeah, so it is possible to play Evolution of Combat, RuneScape, but using the Legacy window layout, which I think a lot of people actually do.
Really? Because it's like, I feel like that would be like, I like all the new stuff, but I'm really into crappy graphics, so can I please do that?
Yeah.
With all of my new stuff. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either why, but it's a thing now.
They can have two. Ooh.
You know, why... I'm going to say something maybe not nice, but I feel this is the kind of stuff why we can't have nice things, right? I know myself and Shane are always complaining about the UI. And we're within our rights to complain about the UI because it's not great. But this is the kind of stuff, like, Jagex having to keep this shit around is the reason why they can't just go and revamp the UI and like make big changes. Like, they can't do, like, now that they have Legacy and they have to maintain Legacy, they can't really do ambitious creative stuff with the new UI because they need to find a way to make it work in Legacy as well.
Yeah.
And that,
you know, yeah, Legacy, you know what that should be? Old school.
Yeah.
There's your Legacy. I mean, I don't know.
It feels a bit like this is holding Jagex back, right? Like, people wanting to hold on to the past and Jagex being dumb enough to support them in that. And then, you know, now you're stuck into, you can't... Like, I don't want to know how much development time is being lost on, you know, a dev implementing a new quest and getting, like, a whole list of bugs of, hey, these cutscenes don't work in Legacy mode, please fix. Like, I have the feeling that programmers have better things to do than making things work on an old UI, and seeing the second action bar in Legacy, like, that took someone, I mean, I'm not going to take a guess, but, like, let's say it took them a few days to implement, optimistically. They could also have spent those days doing quality of life fixes on action bars in general in the new UI, and everybody would have been happier.
Well, exactly. And how many times on stream have we heard that, well, we can't do that because we don't have enough time. We don't have enough resources. Well, this is why you don't have enough time and resources. You got to go back and do this kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it feels very, it's hard to believe JackX when they have chosen to maintain all this old stuff. Like, legacy combat is another thing, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, how do you do quest bosses when legacy combat is a thing? Like, people just switch to legacy, come in and whack the thing with a sword using some poison dragon dagger specials, and that's it. Like, you know, first of all, it's not fun.
I mean, if that's what you're into, you know, it's okay. There is a game for you. There is a game for you. That is just, it's, you know what? It's RuneScape. It's exactly like RuneScape. It's like Legacy DOC never happened.
Yes.
Essentially. And that's all it is now.
It even has Fossil Island.
It does. It does. It's even got sequels to some of your favorite quests, like Monkey Madness.
And Dragon Slayer.
Dragon Slayer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It even has a new skill that is not invention.
Yeah, so like, why don't you get off our backs and go play a game that you would really enjoy?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad we're on the same
page. We're
going to
get canned. We're going to get canned for this. We're in trouble. Shay's going to come back. What'd you do?
It's my last week on the job, so I can do whatever I want.
Yes, I shall suffer the wrath.
I'm glad you're taking the bullet from me. Alright, well, at least the screenshots they made for the next thing were made in the normal combat mode, normal interface mode, because what we've actually what they did this week as well is they took a look at one of the most useless spells in the game, which is Monster Examine, and actually made it useful, if you can believe that.
Yeah, I didn't know this was a thing. Now, I mean, I know this is in, like, every other MMO there is, but I didn't know we had it. And now I do. I'm not sure how this will help us, but I guess when something new comes out, it might be good, you know, like if you don't know it.
It feels a bit at odds with last week's update, where you can do, oh, there's a monster called Araxor. Let me go to my chat box and do /wiki/ Araxor, and you get this information and a strategy guide and a drop guide, and I kid, but I guess good to have this information in the game.
Yeah, I mean, maybe there will be something in the future that we can really put this to use with. You know, maybe there will be something that we would need to use this spell to, like, check. You know, let's just say that there's a boss with minions and their styles continue to change, or you know what I mean? Like, their weaknesses would continue to change, and so that you'd have to, you know, examine them? I don't know. But
I can think of two uses of this spell in the game right now. One of them is Livid Farm, where one of the distractions is a sick monster that you have to monster examine.
Oh.
Yeah. And I think this might be one of the spells that you have to use in Dream Mentor as well, which is all about those special lunar spells. So that might be another one. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so I'll give you that one.
I think the reason they added this, personally, is because remember this first HTML5 app they did, the Bestiary, which was like a website feature. I'm not sure if it still exists. It might even still exist. Let's see.
I thought they got rid of it.
Yeah, it looks like they got rid of it. But like, you might remember it, like, which was like an HTML5 rendering of like the monster with like a bunch of stats, like on the website. This might be sort of a replacement to move that info in the game, just to make sure it's still available from like an official source, right?
Yeah, that. I mean, I'm cool with that because honestly, the Bestiary never worked for me anyway. Like,
I think it didn't work for other people. So.
Oh, okay. Well, at least I'm not alone. But yeah.
That's the whole reason the HTML5 client never happened. So.
Ah.
But yeah, like, there's a bunch of interesting stuff here. Yeah, I'm not going to read it all out. Well, maybe I should, actually. So, the new interface gives you the monster's hit chance versus you, and also in the other direction, so your hit chance versus the monster. It actually updates this in real time, so you can experiment with, like, potions or, like, prayers and all that stuff, and sort of do a bit more math, like, in the game, so that's quite nice.
Yeah.
It gives the monster's hit points. It will also give the attack, defense, magic, and range levels, which is interesting, because I had the feeling that these didn't really exist. I mean, the combat levels, they used to mean something, and now you go to, like, elite dungeons, and you fight a monster with combat level 1500, and you're like, okay.
Yeah, huh?
It's like, okay. Sure.
Yeah. And I remember when that actually did really mean something. Like, remember when, like, first time you fight Jad and it's like combat level 700 and something, and you're like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
But then if it hits you, you're like, bam, you're done. And you're like, oh, okay, I get it now.
And now you get to do the fight caves all over again.
Yeah.
Exactly. You also get the attack rate of the monster, the armor. You also get the base hit chance against the monster with different stars, which is known as affinity. You get a number representing your accuracy against the monster. The monster's weaknesses, if any. And this is quite nice, I think, because the icon is sometimes a bit hard to interpret. Like...
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not always sure which is which. Like, the mage one, I'm pretty clear, but the other ones sometimes confuse me, so... You know, this is a nice way to sort of find out. Though I'm not sure if I would cast this. That's sort of the thing. Would you cast a spell during a boss fight to find out this information?
Yeah, see, that's the problem. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't, but that's just because I'm trying to stay alive, and that's literally all I can do.
Yeah.
Although the next one here seems like that.
Monster's immunity to poison, stun, and reflect. Yeah, that's pretty nice. I think it shows up as like one of these buff icons, but again, there's not really a good way to hover over them and find out what's up. Like, I find that really hard, like, to find out what exactly is up, so. Yeah?
Yeah. But, I mean, at least then you'll know, like, because I'm always like, well, when I do boss, I'm always like, should I take weapon poison, or is this one immune? And because so many of them are immune, but then some aren't, and you just like I never know which bosses I can use poison on and which ones I can't.
Yeah, so Monster Examine actually takes one mind, one cosmic, and one astral rune to cast. And you need three mentor finished to use it, so yeah.
It's a hefty quest line to get this.
Mm-hmm. Though again, Lunar Magics are Lunar Diplomacy, so they're pretty high end anyway.
Yeah.
Then you have the main attack style, max standard hit against you is a nice one to have. And finally, the slayer creature status, whatever that might mean.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Like, if it is a slayer creature or what?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess it makes the thing a bit useful, though I don't really see any practical use in your data life. Day-to-day escaping, I would say.
Yeah.
But still.
Good for when new things come out. It'll, I'm sure, be used then, you know.
Yeah, it might help. Like, I think it's like it's a bit like Voon Metrics. Like, people might use it to figure out some of the stuff. So, but like again, it's a pretty niche update, I think. Like, I've never used the spell really, so.
Oh, well, no. No, I've never used it either.
Cool. And then we have the final quality of life update of the week. And all I have to say about this is vindication. I feel vindicated by this.
You should. As soon as I saw this, and I was like, "Ah!" He was right.
Jagex added examine text to a variety of items and objects in the new and improved Varrakdyk site. I am so happy about this.
See, and you thought they wouldn't
I,
do
you were right. They did go back and
it.
actually fix it. I had not expected that, but they did. So I bow to you. You were right. But all
Good
I
on
can say is, like,
Jagex.
yes, I feel vindicated that they actually did this. So, yeah, nice job, Jagex. Thank you for going back. Now, please do the other graphical reworks as well. While we're at it.
And take out the stairs.
And take out the bloody stairs to nowhere. Cool, that's it on the main updates. I'm not sure if you have anything else on those.
No, I mean that's pretty much, I mean that's pretty much what we're dealing with this week. Like we said before, you know, these are good weeks to kind of throw everything together and get, you know, that's the quality of life stuff done. No, other than no, that's it. We did get a special little video. That's was it this week or was it last Friday? I can't remember for sure. But I think we know when RuneFest is happening now, right?
Yeah, but you're jumping the gun a bit because you've got some other patch
Oh,
notes as well.
am I?
Yes.
Oh wow, there's a load of them. Oh my
Yes.
Lord, I forgot about. There's so many. There's so much. You get a patch, and you get a patch, and this is like everyone gets a patch. My
Yes.
bad. Good Lord.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
I went through the patch notes and not really expecting to see much because often, like in these quality of life improvements, like they'll copy pretty much all the patch notes they have into the main news post. But like, I went through the news post, and there were some patches there that were like pretty big that were not mentioned in the main news post. So I think we should go and discuss some of those.
I think you're right. Never mind me. I don't know. I'm off. La la land.
So, yeah, the first two patches I've written down here are for mobile, which are still being actively updated. So one of the problems mobile devices used to have are that certain devices were having issues with the loot window interface appearing in the top left corner apparently of the screen. So we have moved it to the center of the screen when opened. The mobile teams have planned to improve this in the future.
Okay.
I have not encountered this. Then again, who is doing combat on their mobile phone, and don't they fear for their lives basically all the time?
Nah, they're just like, look at me, look what I can do. I would think, unless, well, this is probably more of a Slayer fix because, I mean, that's where you're going to be using the loot stuff, right? The auto, yeah. So, I mean, I could see it then because that's not sweaty combat, you know.
They also fixed a bug that was blocking progression through dialogue with NPCs if there were two chat heads displayed simultaneously. This includes places we have seen reports about this in the past, including the cabbage section of the Gower quest and during some of the memories during Tales from the God Wars. So
Okay.
yeah, that's a nice quest fix there. Because I know some of the quests have these double heads. Yeah, I guess that's one of the things you don't really think about when you redesign your UI. Like, why would you ever show two heads at the same time? I'm pretty sure like
Yeah.
somebody once hacked that in, and like, yeah. Oh, and this is another fix actually. So some of the PC terminology on the world map have been updated to be more accurate on mobile.
Okay. That's good.
So yeah, onto some other patch notes then. So players that have chosen to disable receiving certain clue scrolls will no longer be spammed with a message saying their clue scroll has been dissolved. I always like it when they remove spammy messages.
Yeah, because you don't need to know that. If you've got it toggled, you don't care. Mm-hmm. You don't want to know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And here's a fun fact. So remember when the Tevhanwin task set came out?
Yeah, and I rushed out and got that, and I said, I'll never, ever fail a trap again.
Yes. So now you will also never, ever fail a stick trap again. Yay. If you have the Tevhanwin Quiver 3 or 4 equipped. Which is great if you have to get to the Light Animica mine.
Yes.
Yeah. I have literally stood there for like a minute trying to get past it at times. Like, come on.
Yeah. Oh, I was cussing because I'm like, I'm wearing my quiver. What is the problem? Like, yeah. This is not supposed to happen.
Yeah.
I take it off and re-equip it. Like, what is wrong?
Apparently it didn't work. I don't think it has ever worked. So, you know, this is one of those interesting. Cool. You can now also right-click your magic skill cape whilst wearing it to change your spellbooks.
Ooh.
Yeah, no need to use those lecterns anymore. Here's a good one. Using a summoning pouch whilst the same familiar is active will now renew the familiar. So,
oh, that's cool.
If you have stuff in your inventory, Beast of Burden inventory, this is absolutely great. Great fix. Players will now receive the correct amount of crafting XP when using the spin flag spell. If that's what you were about, I guess.
I'm glad all them bots are going to get the proper XP that they deserve now. I'm not saying, just saying.
If both players in a social Slayer group have the Slayer 120 skill cape, there is a chance the player is allowed to reroll their assignment a number of times. So I assume this is like, yeah, for social Slayer, it just didn't work.
Okay.
And finally, if you smith an Elder Rune Burial Set, you will now actually complete the Elder Rune Equipment Daily Challenge. I guess, like, if you went out and was like, oh, I need to do some Elder Rune equipment to get my daily challenge, let's do Burial because that's the best XP, and then you didn't get the challenge, you would be pretty annoyed at the reason
That's for sure.
So that's now fixed. So yeah, that's a bunch of extra patch notes there. A link to the full patch notes are in the show notes. And now you can talk about this video.
All right, finally, RuneFest.
Yes,
it's coming.
It's coming.
It's coming in October?
It's coming in October.
Yeah. Not to be confused with Oktoberfest. This is RuneFest in October.
RuneFest so it's in looking, October.
Yeah. So the 4th and 5th. Is that correct? Yes. So the 4th will be the night before festivities. And this year is going to be a Golden Gnome Award night. So...
Woo!
They're trying to make it like glitz and glamour, and I don't know. Maybe there'll be a red carpet or something. And it's a optional black tie affair, right?
Yeah.
So you can get all gussied up and do that if that's your thing.
It's it's not as great as the orchestra last year, I have to admit.
I don't know when I'm going to go, but when I do go, I think I just want to hang out and have drinks with people and just, you know what I mean? I just like, that's like the setting that I want to be in. I want to be in the like social butterfly, walk around with a drink and just talking to everybody. Mm. Like that's what I want. You know, that's how I picture it.
I mean, it The description, the website says that there will be room for that, and I mean you can sort of make the time and room for that, I guess. But like when the orchestra is there, like most people were definitely listening to the orchestra.
Yes, I'm
There were
sure.
also people who didn't realize that the intermission was an intermission, not the end. So they left. Anyway, I'm not. I've never been a big fan of the Golden Gnomes Award, like not at all. That in itself is not really a reason for me to go. That being said, though, like I think the Golden Gnomes in general are still one of the more, like one of the most attended talks during RuneFest. So sort of pulling it out into a separate night, I can see why they do it. Like they can really, like the Golden Gnomes always run over with time, and there's always like scheduling issues. And this, it just makes sense to pull that out and make the day itself really be about the game. Make the night before a celebration of the community, where with community I mean all the streamers and nothing else. We should have live streamed this episode, then we count, right? Look, so like celebration of the community, air quotes, and then make the day itself a celebration of the game, and that might be a good split. It's just that I say celebration of the community with too much sarcasm because reasons that I should probably not go into today, but
Well, but I think we can say that there are some improvements that could be made to the Golden Gnomes, and maybe someday will be by broadening, the categories and just kind of having a taking a broader picture of the people that contribute to the community, so that it's not only streamers, but it's also the Oh, I don't know, podcasts that are out there, the fan sites and the just everything. I mean, it's more than just the one specific venue, I guess, that helps drive this community.
And people might now say you're biased, but like I do think you're right, because if you look at the Golden Gnomes, they are, I mean, they're basically a popularity contest, let's be honest. And the Golden Gnomes go to those people that are already known for being a big part of the community. And why is Jarius not taking this opportunity to call out those people that are a bit less known and a bit more out there, but have a large impact on the game and the community without getting as much? Like when you stream, your face is literally on the screen of many people around the world, while there's also people that sort of work in the background but make just as much of an impact to the community as these streamers, maybe probably even more. Like if I have to move away from podcasts to show I'm not entirely biased, like think of the RuneScape Wiki could be like people behind that. Like there's so much effort going into that, and like there's certain groups and helping clans like for like certain activities in the game that make like a massive difference. Like there's like a clan that helps people with PVM kills because they need to get the comm cape. Like there's people who actively provide feedback to Jagex all the time to sort of like in a constructive way. Like these people deserve calling out as well, and this night seems like the perfect opportunity to do that. And yes, we're giving golden leprechauns, like not, yeah, I'm gonna call them leprechauns, to people we already know and who already are celebrated by being tweeted like by Jagex and being hosted on their Twitch channel all the time. So
Well, and I think you're onto something there. And what I would, you know, what I what I'm thinking is, like, there's no reason that you can't walk and chew gum at the same time. The big, the big well-known streamers, Yeah, that's going to be somewhat of a popularity contest, but I guess that's life. And I don't have a problem for them being recognized and honored and everything.
Nope.
But I think that what you're talking about could also be incorporated about, you know, maybe somebody at Jagex, you know, maybe when they're just hanging out at lunch or something, you know, might kind of look for lesser known, you know, lesser known talents like what you're talking about. And of course, I'm 100% biased. I mean, I don't think I really have to say that.
No.
I kind of, you know,
you're allowed to be biased, yeah.
Right, but there are YouTubers that are small YouTubers I've never seen any recognition for, and they put out a quest guide every quest.
Yeah.
And without them, I would never get anything done. Mm-hmm. You know, so there are other people out there too. Yeah.
I think
maybe it'll morph into that, and that would be a great night before. Yeah.
I mean, we're judging the Golden Gnome Awards night by the past years, which, like, let's be honest, it's not the fairest thing. It's just that we've never really seen a change in the past that much. So, you know, I'm hoping for change. But, like, if it's going to be as all the other Golden Gnomes, like, I know a lot of people find them interesting, but these are the same people that watch the streams, which I don't. And, you know,
right.
I find many a toxic fight and community has started in these Twitch channels. Like, if you look at the Twitch chat during even the official RuneScape streams, oh my gosh, it's shit fest. Like,
yeah, that brings everybody. That brings them all out of the woodwork.
Like, why don't we focus on the things that bring out the good in people and,
you know
go from there?
To be fair, there's only so much you can do as a streamer to combat that. And, I mean, you take every precaution you can, having good moderators and having good filters and stuff. But once you become a certain size, those kinds of people are just drawn to you because they like to throw a wrench into things. They just – that's their jam.
And you so, say I mean, that, but, like, there's a few content creators for, like, other games that I follow on, like, YouTube and Twitch, and, like, those communities are generally lovely, but maybe that's just the kind of person, like, either these are small enough that they haven't been hit by that, but I don't believe that, because these are pretty big. Or maybe, I've just had the feeling that the personality of this stream is attracts a certain
That's 100% true. But it's also the community that plays the game that you're going to be drawing from, right?
Yeah,
so like I've seen huge communities from streamers that were like art streamers where they draw and stuff, and they're like, everyone is the kindest I've ever seen anything online, and you're going, why is this online? Like, is this real? But then you can get like just pick any random OS streamer. I hate to pick on them, but I mean that it is a thing. Like, I'm not making it up. I'm not talking out of school here. And it can get real vicious, like real quick. Like, you can say hi, and next thing you know, you're just being trounced on. You're like, oh, gee, my bad.
All right. So, well, let's hope that we don't have like all the Golden Gnomes for streaming moments and best streamer and best female streamer. And like, I don't know, I'm making up stuff, but yeah. That being said, it's an optional black tie event. Maybe I can convince some of the clannies to show up in black tie with me. And then we go with like clan branded ties.
That'd be tight.
At least we could look the part, right? That would be something I'd be up to. Yeah.
What do you call the picture on our on the website, that dragon? Wouldn't that be that'd be badass?
Yeah, on like a tie, oh, right? Man. Yeah, the clan logo on a tie. I mean, why not? Yeah, exactly. Like, I would be up for that. I've never worn a tie in my life, but if we can get a few people in Clan Quest ties to show up to this event, I'll do it. I'll buy a suit. I'll get ties for us, and we'll look the part.
Right on. I every time I've ever had to wear one, I have to look up on YouTube how to tie. I can't ever remember.
Right. But this is only the night before.
Still got a main event.
There's a main event on the 5th of October. Yeah. I don't really know what to expect. They haven't announced the theme yet. It's a generic RuneFest logo. What do you think? I think the theme will be related to the Land Out of Time. Like, it will be jungle.
Yeah, I definitely think that. Have they ever done something that was like past though? Because that will be past, and I don't know what we're looking at in the fall this year that they could work with. So, mm-hmm. I mean, maybe, yeah, you're probably right. That might be all that they have to really.
It's go also on. Like making something look like a jungle. It's like so easy, right? It's like it's fairly straightforward theming to do, like make like a jungle and chuck some dinosaurs in there.
Yeah, if there's dinosaurs now, that makes my decision harder. RuneScape and dinosaurs, come on.
So yeah, they're bringing back skill chips.
That's cool.
Yeah. If you weren't there last year, like last year, they replaced skill chips with cards. You had to. So if you remember the Fremenic Trials quest, where you had to go to talk to each of these elders, I guess, and do a quest for them. That's what they did, and they gave you like small playing cards, but it was like cheap paper, and you know. At some point, to get like the final card, Shane and I waited in a line for an hour.
Oh, jeez.
Which, you know, it's a waste of time when you're at an event like that. I kind of regret it because like I still have the cards. I've never looked at it. While the skill chips are still proudly on display from the year before. So I'm really glad they're bringing it back. I'm not sure what they were thinking. And yeah, it will be the same venue as last year, so out of London. As I was saying, I hope there's no train strikes this year, because that was a bit awkward last year. I think a lot of people will now sort of know where to get hotels a bit better than last year. But if you're planning on going, my recommendation is to get hotels quickly, because those at the venue will fill up pretty quickly during this weekend. And talking about buying things, the ticket prices can be found on Eventbrite. The early bird price is £135, and the standard ticket price is £150, which is definitely more than last year, I would say. Tannis and I did the math before the episode, and what was the price in dollars?
$190
for a standard ticket. So that's pretty steep. There's no separate tickets. You have tickets to the night before and the day itself, or neither.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty steep.
That's like roughly that's $200. And you know, like there's been a lot of studies that over half of Americans can't handle a $400 emergency. How many people you think could afford for a $200 ticket? Yeah. I mean, wow.
It's pretty steep, and you know. For that price, you'd expect a bit more than what you get for it.
Well, maybe some shuttle service anyway. I mean,
yeah,
exactly. If you weren't staying right at the venue, and especially if you're like foreign, I wouldn't. Oh, well, I can't drive anyway. But even if I could,
I don't think
I'd want to drive because it'd be weird. Everything would be in the wrong spot.
You get used to it fairly quickly, actually. I come from a country where they drive on the right, and here they drive on the left, and, you know, the hardest bit is finding, because, like, just manual cars are a thing here, and finding the gear is the hardest bit, because that's on the other side when you're in a car on the other side of the road. That's the hardest thing, really. So.
Oh, geez, yeah, and you'd have to be doing that with
everything. Yeah.
Boggles my mind. I don't know. Yeah. It would be hard for me. So yeah, some shuttles would be great.
Yeah, I mean, in general, like I'm actually wondering, like if I look at like BlizzCon, That's like Blizzard's
Mm-hmm.
tickets prices. Like, what would you expect that to be? Oh, that's the same, really.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Holy shit.
See, I compare
Holy
these
to... crap. Yeah, those are $200. 230
See,
this
I,
year, actually.
And I don't quite understand this because I the closest thing that I could compare this to would be like a music festival. Like a one-day music festival. And
that
I,
being
I'd,
said, right?
I
that
would
being
pay
said,
that.
Look at the close like look at the closing ceremonies from like the last few years. 2014, Metallica. 2015,
Holy.
Linkin Park.
Oh, what?
2016, Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh, man.
2017, Muse. 2018, Train, Lindsey Stirling, and Christian Nell.
Oh, man.
And that's what you paid $200 for.
Yeah.
So, okay. You know, that's pretty, like, and, like, Foo Fighters, 2011. Tenacious
what?
D, 2010.
What?
Ozzy Osbourne, 2009.
Oh my god.
So, you know, that's what you get for that price, and then you go to RuneFest.
Well, man.
You know, you get the point, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think PDXCon is another thing. That's Paradox Games. You know, just to look at some prices. Yeah, that €200. But that... No, you can get a €100 access pack. That's the normal tier. And a €200 is a VIP tier where you get like another... You get access to the Friday night party, a LAN party with developers, a better goodie bag, a in-game gift, and like a whole bunch of stuff. So, you
okay.
know... As far as game convention prices go, this is really steep.
Yeah,
I'll
this is
still be getting
pretty
it
steep.
Because I can afford it, and I'm just it's around the doorstep, like for me, and
right.
there's gonna be a bunch of people that I know from online there. So for me, you know, I'll still get it. They need to go pretty crazy on the price for me to reconsider. But this is steep. If you're expecting people
it's, yeah.
from around the world to get here, then, you know.
See, I think that plays into their favor maybe a little bit because, like, for me, it's more of a matter of, like, picking the right year. But if I pay $200, that's really not – it's not as bad when I'm thinking about
okay.
a flight and a hotel and, like, it's just an expensive trip, so that it would be a, you know, just another part of it, I guess.
So I just double checked. Last year's prices were actually the same.
Okay.
Then again, that gave you a concert from the London Philharmonic Orchestra.
That's true. Yeah.
This year you get the streamer Circle Jerk instead. So you know, value for money might not be. Sorry, I just have to say it. Yeah, like the value for money is yeah, it's not not the best, actually. I think that might be me actually. Anyway, I just saw a picture of me. That's RuneFest. I mean, maybe there'll still be announcements. We don't know much yet. We pretty much talked for like 15 minutes about nothing, so...
Yeah, RuneFest, right?
RuneFest, yeah.
All right, well, maybe next year.
Maybe next
year.
That's
what I'm going to say. I'm still holding out hope that they'll do a satellite location someday. Just give me two mods or something. I'd be happy.
So what they did do this week is in New York, they did a... They didn't announce this very well, but it wasn't on the social media. Is they did a playtesting rounds in New York. So,
what?
Yeah.
Well, hell, I'd go to New York for that.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing that could probably get me to go to New York.
So that was, I think, sometime this week. It wasn't social media. They didn't announce it very well, which is strange because they were looking for to fill up places. So it looks like they are sort of going out there, maybe. But
Yeah, that's awesome. Cool. Well, we did have some I guess impactful news on the from the live stream. Did you happen to catch that one, Sirion?
I did not. Do tell me
Oh,
more.
well, let me tell you. So, we've had this thing going on with stone spirits, right? There's been
Oh, have
a
you
little
heard about the
bit.
mining and smithing rework?
It's these wonderful things called stone spirits.
Oh my gosh, I love them.
They're pretty.
You know,
They're
every time I
something.
get them from my seven spirit, oh my goodness, I'm so excited! I feel so fortunate.
I bet you're really excited when it's adamant, right? Is that what really does it?
Oh, well, adamant isn't great. It's a bit meh, you know? It's still,
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. But they give you a lot of them, so that kind of,
Whoa. Yeah, like maybe a couple of dozen.
Well, you'll be happy to find out that they're taking the adamant stone spirits off of the Talos drop table. Yeah,
Oh.
but there is a but. In order to not, cause any waves, they're replacing them with runite stone spirits.
Holy crap!
Now,
What a buff! Talos OP!
they gave the reason for this as runite, although it's only a tier 50 and adamant's tier 40, runite is not over supplied like adamant is. And it is a ingredient in the masterwork, so they think that the price will remain the same.
Sure.
You know what they say about do they have the same expression in Denmark where what they say you can want in one hand and do something in the other and see which one fills up first?
Something like that.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, so they're replacing the adamant stone spirits with the runite. I just wish they would have just took them off altogether. I mean, when you got a boss that you can, if you're proficient, you're pulling in 60 mil an hour, taking the stone spirits off, I don't think was going to hurt that too much.
I mean, it's gonna push up the average drop price, like drop probably even, so you know.
Yeah, I mean, so you took a problem and kind of poured some gas on it. But that's okay because we're using gas. We're not using alcohol this time, right? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to say about that one. Maybe it'll work out. I hope
I
so.
think your tone speaks to our conviction about how well the solution will work.
Right. Luckily, there was more. So, on the bright side, your custom fit masterwork armor can now have spikes added to them, and it does look pretty good. Like, it looks pretty cool. And it will cost you one glorious bar, so one glorious bar per piece, so five bars. And this is for the cosmetic, right? This isn't the armor spikes. This is just for spiked armor for the look.
Oh,
Yeah,
right.
it's confusing. It confused me for a minute too, but yeah. So yeah, you just talk to the dude that does the custom fitting, I think, when this stuff comes out. I think they gave a tentative date, but I'm not going to repeat that because it's a tentative date. We'll get it when it gets here, right? And when it gets here, we'll love it. So, they're also doing some improvements to the auto heater. Well, really just one improvement, but they're giving us an improved version of that for 40K dunge tokens. You can overheat. So there's going to be like a setting, a toggle that you can switch your auto heater to overheat, and instead of using 5 coal, this is going to use 50 coal at a time. But instead of going to 30 percent heat, this is going to boost you up to 60% heat. So what this is essentially going to do is give you much, much better AFK rates for smithing. It doesn't change the, you know, the sweaty smithing at all, but it will make the AFK smithing better. So
pretty nice to get, like, the coal sink that they were looking for is not really there yet.
Right.
So,
yep.
You know.
So Shane will be happy with this one.
Yeah, I'm happy.
I'm totally down, and I'm going to buy a bunch of coal and see what happens. Because, you know, why not, right? It's cheap. It's dirt cheap. Maybe I'll even buy some coal stone spirits in case I want to mine them.
Wow.
I'm kidding. Okay. So, they did also make, they're also making some small changes to the heat progress. So, like, what, I mean, they're really small. So, like, right now, like, no heat, I think you get, it's 3 with every hit on the progress. They're going to bump that up to, like, 5. And then low heat, I think, is 8. They're bumping that up to 10, so on and so forth. So it's just real, really small. They're not touching anything on the higher end, just only on the lower side
of
things.
They're making more cable, which is kind of against the whole point, right?
You know, someone did bring that up during the stream, and yes, they are making, well, they're making the AFK better. Okay, so I'm not going to say that we do have a change that is making it more AFK, so I can't say that. They are making the AFK better, but it doesn't change the it doesn't change how it's working on the higher end of things. So we still have the AFK versus active play dynamic with it. I think this is probably okay just because smithing has taken like a hit with the with the rework.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Okay, so the next one actually goes back to what you were saying, Sirion, and we are going to be able to start multiple projects now. So essentially what this means is, you know, when you go into the interface and you start smithing something, right, and you got the little ingot or whatever, you're going to be able to do that over and over and over again until you fill your inventory up with those kind of ingots. And if you're AFK smithing, when it finishes, it will just go on to the next. That's something you could have technically done before, but this makes it way easier, and it's going to make it so that it doesn't quite feel like you're doing one thing at a time. Because I think that's the hang up. I think that's what really is getting people, because you're doing the one at a time. Even though the XP rates are the same, it's just this perception thing.
Right.
And this is going to make that a lot better. So.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, I think that one's going to be that one's actually pretty cool, I think. And finally, this is something people have been really asking for. So Iron Man, get ready. This one's pretty much for you. But they are going to make some changes to the disassembling the components that you get and the amount of them that you get. So, people have been talking about that for a long time. And hopefully that will give the Iron Man the components that they need now, because it's kind of hard for them to get them now. I mean, the rest of us have been okay because of just the market had such a huge in there that hasn't affected us yet, but it probably will. Oh, and before I forget, there's one more. They're bringing out new armor spikes. Not to be confused with the previous spiked armor. These are armor spikes that are you ready? Are you ready for this? It's a smithing overload. So they cannot be traded. You make them yourself, and they add like 10% to your when they go off. So when you're using a shield, that's increased even more. So wow. It's yeah, I mean, it's kind of cool. I mean, this is, you know, melee, obviously.
I mean, the existing armor spikes are already untradeable, right? But I don't think they're used much.
Yeah, I don't think so. And these are improved. Like, these are better. But if you have existing armor spikes, those will be, like, upgraded.
Yeah, the recipe is on the stream right now, what I have open. It's, like, 1,000 armor spikes and 1 concentrated alloy bar will give you 1,000 alloy armor spikes, so...
Yeah.
It's not the most expensive recipe, I guess, so...
No, no, the concentrated bars can, I mean, they're kind of a pain to make, but,
yeah,
I'm sure somebody's doing it, right?
So, yeah.
I don't know. Somebody's keeping that market going. But that was pretty much the live stream. I mean, that was all the meat and potatoes of it. You know, Mod Shawnee did some ambassador and stuff, but that was really all of the news we got out of that. So we're definitely getting some decent smithing improvements.
Good to know that they're still looking at it, like, after release and make sure it's, like, they've almost monitoring, but, like, it's good to see that they actually do.
Yeah, and I was skeptical at first just because I'm like, okay, you did something really good, now don't touch it. Leave it alone.
Yeah.
But, because yeah. I always get
game,
a little...
Game development doesn't really work that way, though. Like,
no.
it's really hard. Like, you can't predict fun. It's probably the best way to summarize it. Like, you can't predict fun, so it's good that they are willing to iterate and, you know, come back, like, revisit their ideas and be like, okay, this doesn't really work. And, yeah.
Yeah, and I definitely think this is definitely going to help it. It's going to improve it. So, yeah. Well, this brings us to the time when we like to thank all of our Patreons. We couldn't do this show without you. And this week, I want to send a shout-out to Avids L, Brock H, Darren L, Diana, Kyle, Logan H, Soulless Dad Evil, Tom V, and Zez. So, thank you guys. We can't do the show without you, and we really, really appreciate everything that you do. And if you would like to be a Patreon supporter, you can find us at RSBNB or Patreon/RSBNB.
Close enough.
You know, just a little dyslexia kicking in there. No big deal. but for a dollar a month, you will receive a special mention in our show notes, and you'll have access to the show notes. For $3 a month, you will receive a special VIP rank on Discord and a special mention on the podcast at the start of the month and a high-quality AAC version of the podcast, which is pretty cool. And for $5 a month, you receive all of the previous rewards, plus you get a shout-out every week on the podcast, and you get access to the outtakes for the clip show at the end of the year. So, lots of good stuff there. We are currently, we're actually currently doing really well with our tiers. So, the tier one was our $15 tier, and that was for the monthly bit. And then we actually reached the $30 tier, which was our inside RSBNB update, where we let you get to know one of the producers a little bit better each month. And we've recently reached our $50 tier. So exciting stuff. And so we're looking to do our first RSBNB roundtable in the very near future. But you know what? Probably should wait for Shane before I announce when that's going to be, frankly, because I don't know when it's going to be. So we'll wait for our dear leader for that one. But if we were to ever make $99, that would unlock the movie night with Shane and Tannis tier. And everything I said last week, yep, that goes again for this week. So there'll be some fun movies. There'll be some Star Trek, you know, and there's going to be some Star Wars.
Yeah, maybe you should also watch Stargate and make it like...
Ooh. What was that one really horrible, horrible movie with John Travolta that was sci-fi? Oh, man, what was that? It's a Battlefield or something? No, it's a battle...
Well, that will be on the agenda, too,
yes,
I guess. Yes,
that will be there, too. It's a really horrible sci-fi movie with John Travolta. Yeah. Oh, I think it's one of those L. Ron Hubbard type things, I think. Yeah. It's not
Scientology. You don't want to miss it.
Yeah, I don't want to miss it. It'll be good. I mean, I will be there, and I like to make fun of things, so definitely. Definitely a lot of fun. So, thank you guys. We really appreciate everything that you do. Mm-hmm. All right. So, do we have a question this week, Siron?
Yes, we have listener questions this week. This week's questions comes from our dear listener, Tycho Elf. And he says, "Dear RSBNB, as every listener on this podcast, I am bowing myself in front of our new overlords of RSBNB. But to prove you are worthy successors of Shane the Farmer, you must first answer these questions at the best of your ability to prove your worth. If you had to choose between the mountains and the beach to spend the week at, which would you choose and why? 2. Runefest has been announced. Will you come, and who will you cosplay as? And 3. What was your dream job as a child, and what is your dream job today? And finally, this is more of a request than a question. As of the day this podcast comes out, I will be 1 year closer to becoming 350 years old. I've heard Americans, Swedes, Danes, Mexicans, and Germans sing at this event that happens once a year. However, I've never heard a Dutch sing. Siron, how do you sing Happy Birthday in the Netherlands? I'm looking forward to hearing your beautiful singing voice and hope that Shane decides to take another week off for us to enjoy. Greetings from Tycho, the elf of the Nordic lands." Let's start with the questions first, right? Mountains or beach? What would it be for you?
Well, I'm going to cheat a little bit. If it was me personally, I would like the mountains just because I've been to a lot of beaches and they're all pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least where most Americans go, would be like in the Caribbean a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
One island looks just like another. I'm sorry. No, I don't mean it in a bad way. It just does. So I would probably like to go up in the mountains just because, I don't know, I enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, my wife and daughter are going to want to be on the beach. So I wouldn't want to miss that because that's
right.
Memories and family time. Yeah. And so I would definitely be right there with them. And then what was our other question? Or how about you, Siron? Where would you rather go?
I'm a big fan of mountains. I love hiking and all that stuff. I find, yeah, just being in a mountain, I just love it. Whenever I'm like traveling, whether by myself or for work, I also always try to find a moment to just have like a little hike. I'm not much of a beach person. Like the only thing I would do on the beach is like walk along the beach line, like at sunset. Like that's the kind of beach experience I enjoy. But, like, going swimming and all that stuff, it's just not for me. I'd rather just be up in the mountains, where it's generally a bit colder as well, so, you know.
Do a little people watching on the beach, you know?
No, that's not me.
No.
Runefest has been announced. Will you come, and who will you cosplay as? Well, I guess you already answered whether you're coming, but if you did come, who would you cosplay as?
Oh, man. Tycho.
Ha! That's great.
I'd do it justice, too.
the stream must enjoy that, having two of you to just on stream all the time. I think the crowd would go wild.
I think so.
As I said, I'm planning on coming. I'm not sure if I will be cosplaying yet. I'm generally there in like clan quest gear. I'm too impatient to do like cosplay stuff. Like I would happily wear it. I can't be bothered about making it. We were talking about it though, and if I had to choose who I would cosplay as, it would be Ictlarin or Icky for short. So I think he's pretty awesome, and we were talking about how I can show my abs, and it works out. So yeah, no, I think Ictlarin is also one of the more interesting god characters in RuneScape.
Oh
So
yeah, I mean, if you're gonna do it, you might as well be a god, right?
yeah, exactly. So
The
I
god
think that
of
would
the
be pretty cool.
abs.
Yeah, I think it would be pretty cool.
I am the god of washboard
Ha.
abs.
So, what was your dream job as a child, and what is your dream job today?
Oh man, well this is sad-ish, but dream job as a kid, I wanted to be an archaeologist from the time I was like three.
No way! Me
Yeah.
too!
Yeah. That was my dream. Yeah, that's just always something that I wanted to do. Now I don't really have a dream job at this point. I dream of having lots and lots of money where I could do like charitable things. Like I have thought about like several charitable organizations I would love to start if I ever hit like the lottery or something. Like I would love to do some kind of like kind of model, you know what Special Effect does, but do it over here. There's lots of stuff I'd love to do. I would set up some kind of a virtual reality type thing for disabled people to come and use and get to go places and see things they might not get to otherwise. So I have lots of ideas like that, but really when it comes down to making a living, I just want to do what I'm doing now, but make even more. Because I'm pretty happy. Like I'm a reseller right now, and I'm pretty happy doing that. So, but more business is always welcome. So.
Yeah, like I said, I wanted to be an archaeologist as well when I was like quite young. And then my mom pointed out that like an archaeologist is lots of filing things away and organizing, and I'm actually a pretty organized person, so in hindsight maybe I would have liked that. But I'm also really impatient, so I'm like, archaeologist is really not for me. And then I went through this phase where I wanted to be a forensic investigator. That was also the time that was a lot of CSI on the Dutch telly, so that sort of went hand in hand. And then throughout the my yeah later sort of before I went to university, I wanted to become a game developer, which. It's kind of still my current dream job, but I've sort of grown. Like, I still love doing it. I do it as a hobby still in my free time. The kind of thing that I find about game development is it doesn't allow me to make a difference to other people, right? It's entertainment. I mean, you can do like really impactful games, but you have to be like really passionate about that. And I find that I take much more enjoyment at doing something that does good, right? That sounds a bit soft-hearted, but like my current job as a software engineer, I work on a product that I know makes a difference to many, many, many people out there. Like it makes a difference around the world, and those stories are what gets me up every morning and get me to work and make the difference. And now that I've had that, I'm not sure if I could ever go back to something that is a bit more mundane, such as I don't know. Like game development can be impactful, and like I'd love to do things like special effects, right? Like really take accessibility to the next level in games, for example. Like I think that would be super awesome. I'm just not sure how I would get there. So, but like if I had to take a dream job, it would be either that or going more into like the research direction and like really really start making things better for other people. So that's sort of the thing I'm passionate about.
That'd be cool.
Finally, the request. Well, I don't really have that good of a singing voice, and I'm a bit awkward about it, so I'm not going to sing, and I'm also going to tell you a bit about Happy Birthday in the Netherlands. Hopefully, that makes up for it. So, Happy Birthday in the Netherlands doesn't really exist. So, this is something I've only learned like 2 years ago, that this is a really weird thing we do in the Netherlands. So, in English and many other languages, you have this word congratulations, which means you're congratulating someone with something they achieved, something they did, right? Like that's what it means. And you have happy birthday to wish someone a good birthday. And in Dutch, we use the same word for that. So you achieved reaching another year in your life, which is kind of weird, to be honest. So the word for that in Dutch is gefeliciteerd, which is, yeah, congratulations. So one time I sent someone congratulations with your birthday, and they looked at me, and that's when I learned it's a really weird thing. So don't be me. Just say happy birthday. Don't try and be original. Do as everybody else does. Now when it comes to singing, we don't really have like a happy birthday in the same tune. Like we have a few different songs, and they all sort of focus around may you live for a long, long time, yada 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 yada, hip hip hooray. Like that's really what it comes down to.
Okay, so are you saying that the Dutch are so somber and pessimistic that they look at it as an achievement that you made it one more year? Like, well, you're still living. Congratulations.
I'm not sure if that's the right interpretation of it, but
Oh,
it's
okay.
like, yeah, it's the same word, and it's like whenever you explain it to someone, they just look at you like, yeah, it's so weird. But yeah, that's sort of the experiences we have around.
Congratulations, you didn't die.
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, that's sort of the Dutch tradition. I mean, I'm still gonna wish you a happy birthday. I hope you had a good day, and I guess when the podcast comes out, or have a good day if you're listening live, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Party on.
Party
Have a
on.
good birthday. They say it's your birthday.
Yeah.
Da-da-da.
So if you
Yeah.
have a question or a request, because Shane might be more willing to sing for you on stream, who knows? You can send your question in an email to questions@rsbnb.com. You can send us a direct message on Twitter at rsbnb. You can even call or text us at 571-57-BNB. That is 571-572-2632.
Good deal. Well, has it been an exciting week in the tech world, Farron?
Yes, there has been tech news. Just as always, three articles exactly. I don't know how we do it in the tech world, but it seems that we are very good at sort of regulating our tech news articles to align with RSBNB Update podcast episodes. Yeah.
Almost like they're curated in some way.
Anyway, the first thing, I mean, I think this is pretty awesome, this article. So, Microsoft is bringing more games to Steam because they say
Yay!
they believe you should have choices in where you buy your PC games. So,
Woo!
yeah, I mean, yes. This is a pretty big deal. Like, Windows doesn't, or Microsoft doesn't do badly on PC games. And to just to say how serious they are with this, so the like Halo Wars has already been released on Steam, but like the big announcement today was that the Master Chief Collection that they're doing will be rolling out on Steam as well. Halo Reach will be on Steam this year.
See, that is awesome, and it's such a contrast to certain competitors who are going for all these exclusive deals. And, oh, no, if it's on our store, it can't be on anyone else's store. Microsoft's like, put it on all the stores. We don't care. That's more sales for us.
Yeah.
I'm like, huh, we might be onto something there.
I mean, I think, love it. I think this is also the most customer... I think this is a really good thing because it's really customer-friendly because it means you can choose the platform that you enjoy using. Mm-hmm. And I think it's good for competition, right? Because if all these games were available on all these platforms, right, you get to choose which you like best. So these web shops better provide the very best platform for you to use. Like, imagine if Netflix and Hulu, I think is a big thing in the US, had exactly the same content. You would purely choose based on, like, service and functionality. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yes.
And, you know, competition is good for the customer. And I've had a lot of thought about this case, like, over the past few months, really, since the Epic Store started up. And, you know, in a way, like, Epic Games is often vilified. They do have a point. Steam takes a 30% cut, which is a lot. So, you know, in a way, what I would like is that developers could maybe just, instead of, right now, you have to sell for the same price on Steam as on the Epic Game Store, for example. So if you sell for $10, Epic Games is going to give you more bang for your buck. No, the other way around. It's going to give you more buck for your bang. Like, every game you sell, you're going to have a bigger cut than from Steam. So for a developer, Epic Games is actually more attractive. Well, for a customer, Steam is more attractive because it has a bigger feature set. Now, what if we sort of turn it around and we allow developers to say, okay, I want, my cut is $10 for every game. And Steam says, okay, we'll add 30% on top of that. They sell the game for $13. And Epic is like, oh, we only need 12%, and we sell the game for $11.20, which is an awkward number, but, you know, you get the drift. And at that point, the customer can be like, okay, do I pay the extra $2 to get Steam's feature set, or do I take that feature set cut and save myself $2, right? I think that would be interesting.
Yeah, I definitely see where you're coming from with that. And honestly, I thought... I had high hopes for the Epic Store when it started. Mm-hmm. It was only once they started trying to grab exclusives and blocking stuff from going to the other shops that I kind of changed my mind. And I don't know if that comes from their mothership. I'm guessing probably. But I don't know that. So, but this is nice because, like, you know, if you gave me the choice of, do you want to pay $2 more and have it on your platform of choice that has all of your friends and all of your stuff, maybe I'd be willing to do that. Or maybe it's a certain game that none of my other friends play, so I don't really care about that quite so much, so I'll go ahead and take the $2 discount. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that is really the best of both worlds.
Yeah. Now, there is a problem with this, though. Like, so we also this. So my solution presents the bill to end users completely, while the current solution presents the bill to developers, which is also not great. That being said, I don't think my solution is necessarily perfect either, because developers also have a value out of a platform, right? Steam gives you distribution. Yeah. It gives you matchmaking. It gives you, like, all the Steam sort of functionality that you don't have to implement in your own servers. It gives you, okay, I want to say marketing, except for being on Steam doesn't really do much for you anymore these days as a game. So maybe that's not necessarily as great, but, like, maybe the Humble Bundle, for example, the Humble Bundle website, which doesn't do the distribution for you, But like you might end up in one of their bundles, which does great for your acquisition numbers. So, like, I feel that a developer might also say, okay, we're willing to take like a large, like have you take like a larger cut in return for distribution, yada yada yada. And you know, there's so many complexities around that. I don't think there's an easy solution. We're not in the right place right now, I think. And I think we need to start decoupling this because right now, I think the complication comes from the fact that Steam is both a storefront and a distribution platform. Those are tied completely together. But you can Humble Bundle is basically selling Steam keys. So it's a
Yeah.
different storefront, while Steam is still the distribution platform. So, you know, why aren't we splitting that out and say like, okay, Steam allows you to use this distribution platform for let's say like 5% of all your sales. Humble Bundle allows you to be their storefront for 10% of your sales. Leaves 85% for you, which is pretty nice. And, you know, nothing is stopping you from having Humble Bundle, but also Epic Games as a storefront and like other places for like maybe different prices. Like, I think that's the big problem. Like, Steam has a monopoly in this world because they have tied distribution and storefront so closely together. And I think if we wanted to really ch like if you want the online web store world to really change, that needs to be split up. Because I think that's the only way where we can find a satisfying solution where people can really, where customers can pick their storefronts and developers can pick their distribution platforms freely. And as long as it integrates nicely, which, I mean, come on, there's solutions for that, then we're done, right?
That
So.
does seem like it would be the best for all of the parties involved. It seems like we should. I could have swore I'm at some point we had laws that prevented companies from being vertically integrated like that, but maybe not so much now. I wonder if this Microsoft move is going to bring us closer to that.
I we'll have to see how they end up doing the actual implementation of like how you actually end up with the games, how they work and how they integrate, like if it will still go to like Microsoft services. I think Microsoft can get away with this because they are so big and they can sort of they can sell things on Steam and then just directly use their own services. But you know, I think it's a step in the right direction and you know, it's Microsoft big giving a big finger to like Epic Games like this is how you do it instead. Because it's not just that, right? Like another big thing is that they're also opening up their store for more people. So a big sort of problem with the Microsoft Store up to today is that it has to be a so-called universal Windows program, which has restrictions in that it has to use DirectX, it has all kinds of limitations, which means that a lot of games will not develop specifically for the Microsoft Store. And now they're basically saying any Windows application can go in the Microsoft Store. So I think they're looking to do this. To sort of allow two-way traffic. And I think that would be the ideal case, you know. The Microsoft, like seeing the Microsoft Store getting more traction, you know, I don't think it's a bad idea because it's really tightly integrated with Xbox.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
It's a potentially a bigger competitor to Steam than Epic Games, but instead of going the dick route, they're going, let's be nice to our partners and show that by collaborating, we can move the world forward. I respect them for that. I respect them deeply for that. And I hope this plays out well for them. I really, really hope.
Yep, I do too.
What I don't hope turns out well. Oh, nice segue, isn't that? What I don't hope turns out well is Facebook. Yes, we're back again with Facebook. So Canadian lawmakers are a bit angry at Facebook because Zuckerberg is not coming, or did not show up on the at Parliament. There's a nice empty chair here on the picture. they were asked to testify, and they didn't. It was the second time in 6 months that he was invited, and the second time he didn't show up. So, yeah. So apparently they did actually go to Canada, and then they went fishing. That's what it says here. So, you know, it's a proper...
Could there be a... Oh, yeah, whatever, Canada. Sure.
Yeah.
We don't know what you're talking about. Sorry.
I mean, that's one thing to, like... I mean, I understand they can't just show up whenever a government calls them to. Like, I accept that. On the other hand, this is playing with fire, I feel. Like...
Well, he showed up when our Congress told him to.
They have massive public relation problems, right? Publicity problems.
Yeah.
And then you do something like this, it's not going to make you more popular when you're trying to transform a company. It feels very unprofessional in a way. Like, there's ways where you can refuse seeing the government in a less infuriating way.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm laughing because, well, it's Canada. But they're not like nobody. You don't want to piss Canada off because they actually have some people over there that actually might write some laws to corral you. You know, like, I don't know. But since I'm not Canadian, I'm going to laugh, and I think it's funny.
We get to laugh because Shane's not here, basically. Yeah.
Exactly. Shane would be all wound up. He'd be, yeah, but I mean... But the funny part is, they actually went. They just didn't show up to part
Yeah.
One.
Yeah.
So there's that. When are people just going to realize you need to probably break Facebook up? Mm. I mean, it needs to happen. But I'm sorry, I can't even think straight because I've got this image of Zuckerberg trying to fish, which is just the strangest thing in the world. Like,
yeah. Shall we? I mean, we're enjoying this, but I think you'll enjoy the last piece of tech news as well.
Oh, I think you're right. I think you're right.
So, you know, in RuneScape, we have this thing called old school RuneScape because people, like, your nostalgia is a strong thing, man. It is,
you know, I get it. Good.
And people saw the success of old school, and they were like, you know what? We have a few MMOs that could do this, and World of Warcraft Classic became a thing. And people are pretty excited for it. It's from 2004. It's pretty old. It's actually older than old school RuneScape, if you think of it. This version, it's 3 years older. And it's currently in beta, and people are going and enjoying it. And people are having some bug reports about it as well.
Huh. There's some bugs, huh?
There's some bugs.
In an older game.
And Blizzard was like, well, some of these are not bugs. This is how the game used to be. I think one of them is like the spawn rate for monsters. It's like, it was really low back in the day, and people are complaining about it, and Blizzard's like, but that's how it always been. You know, some of these are great. Available quests do not display a question mark on the minimap. Tough luck. Tauren's hitboxes and their melee reach is slightly larger than other races. I mean, feared players and NPCs run fast. Well, I would run fast if I was feared. like quest objectives and points of interest are not tracked on a map or minimap. I mean, you know, I think this is just nostalgia's play, right? Like, people always
Yeah.
make their memories better than they used to be, and you know that's what's going on here.
Yes.
And I, you know,
Well,
this comment here, yeah, people don't realize the sheer enormity of game system evolution World of Warcraft has gone through since release. I'm not the biggest fan of BOA, which I guess is one of the expansions, by any stretch, but I've played since closed beta vanilla, and I doubt I'll be going back to classic. Leveling was painful. Experiencing these old systems once was enough. Which, and
I hear you. That's how I felt. That's how I felt about RuneScape.
exactly, like when I went into old school, like getting around was a pain, you know, it wasn't a game that was as polished as what we have now. And why do people not realize that? It honestly makes me wonder. Like, it can't, like, nostalgia might invite you to try an old version of the game, but how would you continuously play it? That's sort of what
Well, and
surprises me.
see, yeah, that's my kind of problem with it. I'm not sure that it. I mean, I guess OS proved this wrong, but I would say that I'm not sure that this works in the whole field of MMOs. Nostalgia is a thing. That's why I have a system right now that will play, Genesis, Nintendo 64, and Nintendo, and I might play one of those games for, oh, I don't know, an hour once in a while, and it is a nostalgia rush, and it is fun. And then you know what? You'll cuss it because you're like, I can't believe how hard this shit used to be, like, incredibly difficult back in the day. But it's not something that is ongoing like that. And I think that that's what's really hard to make these games work. I think the reason OS worked, and I got to be honest, it is working apparently. But the reason that happened was you had a straight up revolt over a huge game changing update. And everybody that was pissed went to that game. And they've stayed there. And then it became the cool kids thing to do on Twitch. And then more and more people came. So I just think it's fundamentally different. Whereas in when it comes to World of Warcraft, they weren't trying to solve a problem. They're just like, oh, look, it's nostalgia. And then everyone goes back, oh man, this game sucks.
So
Well, yeah,
would
it's
your
2019.
would your prediction be that World of Warcraft Classic is not gonna go the same route as old school?
No, I don't think it will at all.
So old school is sort
I
of an
mean, I just
ongoing protest then against DLC.
old school is, let's call old school what it is. It's just RuneScape without EOC. That's what it is. So the people that threw a fit, they did. They got what they wanted, and they're still there. But because of the popularity, I think it drove other people to it, and we have to acknowledge certain facts, right? For a new player, it's a hell of a lot easier to pick up old school than it is RS3. So they were in a much better position to attract new players and get them started and keep them there than RS3 was. And I think that's kind of, that's kind of went on with the Twitch phenomena, and that's why they're where they are now. But I don't see other MMOs doing following the same. I just don't think they can. I don't think there's.
I mean, we also have
It's
to,
just the community's different, you know?
I think we also have to like realize that like old school as it when old school was released as old school like a few years ago, it wasn't a very different state as it is now. Like, they now have the Grand
Yes.
Exchange, they now have like
Yeah.
a lot of the quality of life stuff is actually ported back to old school. There's now new content, like it's now, you know, they are improving it and polishing it like in its own path, but in sort of an attempt to keep it old school, that just like all the updates and all the stuff they do, it's like all old school style. So yeah, I
Yeah,
don't
I mean
know.
it's got the old, yes, of course it has the nostalgic kind of graphics and all that, but I mean I just
I'd rather play the gorgeous game that's RuneScape 3.
well, and I mean me too, but I feel like I just feel like it's essentially just RuneScape without EOC and I'm not gonna say crappy graphics, but lower quality graphics. Mm. I guess. I mean, for 2007, it's fine.
You know? In 2007, this was still running in a browser, which is mental.
Well, yeah, but I'm trying to throw a bone, you know? Mm. I guess you're right.
Cool. That's it for the tech news this week.
So, I guess...
on to some achievements.
Moving on to some achievements. So, this week, we have Wolfie with 120 magic on May 28th. And then Wolfie got 120 defense on May 28th. Omega with 120 farming. Shane will like that one. That was on the 28th. Takis Fuego with 99 fishing on May 28th. O Rosov O with Kosov. I am not good at Russian. So there's that. But they got 120 defense on May 27th, and then O Kosov O with 200 mil Slayer. Nice. I love those 200 mils, and that was on the 27th.
Cool. That's the final one on 27, which is a Kurt 1S, or Curtis, I assume, with 99 ranged. Then we're moving on to the 26th, where Guile Fleur got 99 divination. And then on May 25th, we have Curtis again, getting 99 hit points and 99 Slayer. And Poison Nova getting 120 farming. That's two farming 120s. Oh. And Shane is not here.
He's not here.
Wow. Congratulations to all of them. That's some really nice achievements in there. Well, well done.
Yes. Nice job, everybody. Good job. So, do you have a pick for us, Sirion?
I have a pick of the week for you. So, we've all heard of the rage that's fidget spinners, right?
Mm-hmm.
And... I mean, people might know what the original reason was for the fidget spinner to exist, but the fidget spinner is there for people who need to do something with their hands at any time. People that are mentally, I don't want to say disabled.
Like for ADD type stuff?
ADD ADHD? Type people, or some people just have they just need this. That was the original reason why it was designed. Fidget Cube is another of those things, and it hasn't sort of been... I think it's sort of avoided being this hyped up item, and it feels a bit more close to its root. So, let me actually show you... Oh, wow, this website just sent me to a page that didn't exist. So Fidget Cubes are... They're little plastic cubes, and on each of the sides there is... something that keeps your hand busy. So, you know, if you're ever been with other people, you know the clickiness of a pen, right? You might have done it yourself. You might have heard me do it during this episode because I don't have a fidget cube at home. Just clicking a pen, right? So one of the sides of the fidget cube has five of these buttons that you would find on pens. Some of them are silent, so you don't have to bother your neighbors and you can just click. There's a little turning thing. There's a switch, like a light switch you can just turn on and off. There's just a bunch of tiny little things. One of them is like an analog stick from a game controller. There's all kinds of sort of things you can just keep your fingers busy with. So it calls, it's a spin, a click, a roll, a glide, a brief, and a switch. So, I have one at work, and it's really nice. Just sort of, sometimes I feel like I'm busy with my hands, right? I'm thinking, instead of annoying my other people, because we work in an open office, I just take the fidget cube and start fiddling with it. And it works really well, I think. My game joystick is completely Yeah, like you can shake it around by shaking the cube. That's how much I've used it.
Wow.
So it got a lot of use. No, it's a cool thing, and they have a few other ones as well. So they have like fidget pads, which is basically like a tiny game pad. It's just to keep your fingers busy, and if you have like a tick, any tick, this is I think you should consider getting something like this. If you don't have a tick, but you still want something cool on your desk, they have Marvel versions as well. And you can have like a Marvel
Oh,
thing.
sweet.
Yeah. So yeah, that's and then there's a Wonder Woman one, which is not Marvel. Oh my goodness. That is so wrong. But yeah, that's my pick of the week.
Nice. Nice. I
So
have to
what have
go
you been
and check
doing?
those out. Oh, well, I have been smithing, actually. I'm doing a lot of smithing lately. I'm trying to get up to, well, I guess I'm going for 99 on my on junior because I'm trying to get him to where he can do the Elder Rune plate bodies and get those all stacked up and ready for my main to just go crazy on. So and I've just got this huge stack of Bane and Auric Calcium, whatever, or
Oricalcum, I think, yeah.
yes, yeah, I've got a huge stack of those two things, and so yeah, I've been making just been smithing. It's been about it. How
Cool.
about you?
I actually did it and went and did Elite Dungeons 2 and 3 last weekend and finally
Oh.
finished the Curse of the Blackstone. I have been progressing it for a long time because I did Elite Dungeon 1 and it was just such a not fun experience for me that I held off on all the other stuff. But people coerced me into coming Elite Dungeon 2 with them. I actually did it in normal mode, not in story mode. I died once. I got signed of life once, so it didn't go great. But I did end up finishing it, make progress in the quest, and at that point, I was like, okay, I'm gonna finish it and get this out of the way. So I story mode to Elite Dungeon 3, and I have to say something about the Ambassador boss. I think it is mechanically the most interesting boss from all of RuneScape.
Really?
I played it in story mode, so it was really forgiving for me, right? But it was perfect for me. There was still a
You know?
challenge to it because I still use food because I made mistakes. And I had plenty of food left at the end, sure thing, but it still felt challenging to in a way, and I had some fun learning the mechanics and trying to deal with them, and there was some mechanics that I just couldn't figure out, and I stopped bothering with them. Like I stopped trying to barricade stuff with my shield switch and fancy stuff like that because I decided to just tank the damage and eat. But some of the mechanics I thought were really interesting, and like especially the last phase where you have to sort of block the healing coming from the things. I thought it was super interesting, and I think it is actually quite an enjoyable boss. I think it's too hard for me to do it in real mode. But, it's a massive contrast to something like Seiyu, which was super unforgiving, even in story mode. And this boss felt right for me. Like, it was not hard, but it took a while, and it was still. It felt like I was learning a boss with the side wheels on. And
Oh, okay.
that's exactly where I'm happy to keep it. Like, I
Yeah.
now don't have any feeling to go back and do it again in story mode. There's not much to be gained. Maybe the books, but that's not happening, I think. I have no intent to learn it at like real mode. I think that's too difficult for me, but for what it was, not too bad. So, Ambassador boss, quite enjoyable. Much more enjoyable than all the other elite bosses, I think. Though there's another boss in that dungeon, which is the Leviathan one, which I also thought was pretty good. So, all in all, I think Shadowreave is actually a pretty good elite dungeon. And
Awesome.
it seems that's when they finally got it down. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you know, even our resident PVM expert David said that was his favorite boss. Definitely something there.
Yeah.
Something to do it.
Cool. That's it for this week, I think.
Yeah, unless you have anything else.
No, I don't have anything else.
All right. Well, with that, we will see you next time, and Shane will be rejoining the crew next week. We'll see you then.
Yeah, thanks for having me these 2 weeks, and until next time.
See ya.